Isn't it so important in our day, because we live in a day that has become so relative, so there's nothing is absolute anymore. People, the idea of love, the idea of truth, is whatever you want, whatever feels right to you. That's the attitude of the world today. But we have very directly, as you just brought out those verses in 1 John, very definite, God is love. And God is light. And those are absolutes. And I think we live, as we all live in this poor world, we are the only ones who hold this absolute truth from the Lord Himself. And I think it's important that when it comes to love, we should be the ones who are actually expressing this according to truth. Because we don't have to look around and look for the feelings of all those around us. As some feel that you can have truth. You meet people and you talk to them and they have this idea. The truth is whatever you've come up with. And yet we have it all in Christ. Truth is in Jesus, it says in Ephesians. And so we have a very clear barometer. We don't have to be just aimless. We have purpose and direction. We're pointed in what we're doing. And so in love, we should have a very clear sense of purpose in this.
I think we need to express the love of John, how he addresses it. The love and the truth, I want to carry it from his first epistle. If I can use a verse to clarify it, and brethren can move us forward. By this we know we love the children. How do I love? How do I express my love toward the children of God? By loving God, and keeping His commandments. In that light of thing, this is love in the truth. Because sometimes we might think that loving the brethren is everything wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But really, the motive behind it is, how do I express my love toward the saints of God? It's by loving God and keeping His commandments. And in that light, that's where it brings love and truth together, as John is addressing it here. And after all, it is the only apostle that is frequently using that title of endearment, beloved. In fact, to this man, he addresses it as beloved at least 4 times. Beloved. And what a wonderful way of approaching the saints of God, that they are beloved in the Lord.
And just again, to define what is truth. Because, Sam, I'm taking your admonition that we want to make things simple and clear so we would not take things for granted. And as Brother John McCormick was saying, you know, people now speaking about the truth in a very subjective way. What is truth? Actually, it's not strange that Pilate asked that question to the Lord Jesus, and John recorded that. What is truth? And he didn't wait to hear the answer. He kind of turned his back. He was standing before the truth. The truth we are talking about here is not a list of creed. These are the right things. These are the true things. And we're talking about a person. And we need to keep that in mind. Christianity is, everything is embodied in a person. So what is truth? It is the person of the Lord Jesus revealing to us what is God is in all His nature. So if we wanted to know what is right and what is wrong, we look at the Lord Jesus, because He was the embodiment of the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said that, I am the truth. He is the truth. Everything that is, we wanted to know, what's right and what's wrong, we look at the Lord Jesus. What is really God revealing to us, we look at the Lord Jesus. And how we do that? Reading through the Word of God, reading through the Gospels. We find that. So the truth really is embodied in a person. It is what God had revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Keep that in mind. It is not a list of things, that these are the right things and these are the wrong things. It's a person. Examine everything in the standard of Christ. And the love ought to be expressed the way the Lord Jesus have expressed His love. It is, if anyone have loved God and kept His commandment, it was the Lord Jesus. And that's, so there was a time, He loved all the disciples. When Peter said, far it be from thee, Lord, to go to the cross. He said, go behind me, Satan. Well, that's not really love. That is love in the truth. When you call somebody. So that is really the way it has to come. And it will help us in our conduct if we keep that in mind. Because it's the danger always to go one way or the other. Truth, cold, or love that is just mushy and let everything go. We need to do it this way, keeping the truth, keeping the love in truth.
Just to say a little bit more about that, these two words go together in all of John's letters, truth and love. In 1 John, he said God is light, and he said God is love. He talked about both of these things. We walk according to the way the Lord Jesus walked, and we love the way the Lord Jesus walked, as we just were saying. And just to make sort of another general comment about these two letters that come after, in the second letter, Paul mentioned love a little bit more strongly in this one verse where he said, this commandment is to walk in love. Love one another. This is the commandment, to love one another. But in the second letter, love is not really Christian love if it is not making a distinction between what is true doctrine and what is not. Because in the second letter, right after speaking about we should love one another, there's the instructions to make sure that those things that are brought that are false, they're rejected. So love in the second letter must be controlled or governed by what is true. In the third letter, we have very similar expressions. I love Gaius in the truth. You're walking in the truth. But what is emphasized, as we'll see during the course of the day, is that truth that is not present with the warm-hearted, genuine love, practical love that is displayed by behavior, that truth is also not effective. It is not Christian truth. It is not truth as it is in Jesus. It is not truth that is displaying the way the Lord Jesus was. And so in the third letter, as we go along, we're going to see that this is what is developed, that the truth is important, but only as it is in connection with the love that ought to also be part of a Christian life. And just to make a little link with one of the verses here, in verse 2, it says that Gaius, or it suggests in verse 2, that probably Gaius needed better health. Because Gaius was a busy person. This comes out later in the verses that come along. He was a person of service. He was a person of genuine interests in the lives of other believers. And so his health, John is praying that his health would improve. Although it doesn't say that precisely, I think that's what is implied here. I pray that your health would be as, your physical health would be as good as your spiritual health. Because his spiritual health, his spiritual maturity was very exemplary. For John, he had learned this lesson about truth and love. John was actually a very, very hard man. John and James were very hard, rigid, stern people. They were the sons of thunder. They were the ones who said when the Lord Jesus wanted to stop, I think it's in Luke's gospel, stop in one of the cities of the Samaritans, and the Samaritans would not receive it. And John said, well, let's call down fire upon them, because that would be the right thing to do. And the Lord Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. In John's gospel, as it was mentioned, he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved those five times. But he doesn't mention himself in any of that gospel until John chapter 13, which is the last 2 days of the Lord's life on earth. You cannot find any references to the apostle John before John 13. And it's almost as if, this is a supposition, it's almost as if he writes his own gospel and he's embarrassed about who he was. Because all he cared about was the truth. All he cared about was the stern character of God, justice and righteousness. But he came to know that's not for the one who's following the Lord Jesus. I'm the one that Jesus loves. He wasn't being exclusive. I've known people who said that's a little insulting that John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's not how he meant it. He didn't mean that the Lord loved him more than the others. But he just really appreciated how the Lord had love for him, especially in light of who he was naturally. And so in this letter, he's praying for Gaius that his health would improve, because Gaius is a man of service. Even though he's walking in the along with walking in the truth, this is displayed in a life of service.